Thank you, sir. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be with you once again by way of radio, and thank the Lord for all that He does for me, all of His love and mercy, His kindness, the joy and peace that He gives. And before I got saved, I was joyless, and I didn't have any peace and any contentment. I mean, I was worried about things, and I was sad and depressed and lonely, and I just felt like I didn't belong. I mean, I lived in this world, and I had friends, but I really just felt out of place. I felt like a waste of space. I felt just like there was no hope for me. But I'm thankful that a preacher continuously preached the gospel to us. When I would go to church and I'd hear about a man called Jesus and how he would save me from all my sins and give me joy and peace. And I knew that's what I needed growing up. And growing up in this world, I knew I needed something. I knew I needed Jesus. But I avoided it. I will be honest. I avoided him. I didn't want to get saved at that time. You know, when you're a teenager, you're growing up, you last thing you want to do is be a Christian. That's just the way we are. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live a straight life like that. And especially if you're not saved and you're a young man, you're like, there's no way I can do it. And that's exactly how I was. The devil lied to me. He said, why don't you wait until you get older? You know, when you're older, then you can become a Christian. Being a Christian is for older folks and for more older people than you. And I sounded pretty good to me as an unsaved person, as a young dummy. That sounded good to me. So I ran in my flesh. And for 7 long years, from the first time God dealt with me, I ran in sin. At 16, I remember the Lord dealing with my heart and trying to save me, but I didn't want to be saved. And by the way, God's not going to force you to be saved, and He's not going to force you to believe on His Son and to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ and to receive Him into your heart. God's not going to force you to do anything. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to be saved. But if somebody really loves and cares about you, they won't force you to do anything. They'll give you a choice. And that's what God gave me when I was 16 years old. He gave me a choice, an opportunity to be saved, and I chose no. I chose to run the devil's way. I chose to run in sin, and that's just in our nature. I mean, I had no problem knowing I was a sinner, the way I was living, the things I was partaking of. I had no problems believing and knowing that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior. But that didn't save me. You know, just knowing that I needed a Savior didn't save me. Just believing that Jesus was God's Son didn't save me. And just knowing all those things I heard in church, knowing that it was true, believing there's a God, I mean, that's good. But that won't get you into heaven. You see, it takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It takes you surrendering your life to Him and really believing with all your heart all that He's done for you. And I'm here to tell you about what He's done for you. He went up Golgotha's hill. He went up to the hill called Calvary, and He paid the price for sinners. He died for us. He gave His life freely on the cross. You see, when Adam and Eve fell to sin in the beginning, God had to make a sacrifice. He had to provide a sacrifice for us for the sin that they committed. And that's what Jesus did. All those many, many years later, the perfect sacrifice came. And He is perfect, by the way, and I love Him. He is perfect. He will perfect you on the inside. He will perfect your soul. He'll justify you by His blood. And we're justified by blood, by the way. We're saved from wrath and justified by blood. And when you get saved and born again, you're saved from God's wrath. You know, punishment is coming for the evildoers. Those that don't get saved, those that rebel and reject God, and all those in times past that are already dead and they're gone, that rejected God, they're in hell right now. They're tasting of just a little bitty taste of God's wrath, but there's more to come. There's worse to come, by the way. When they face Him at the great white throne judgment, and their name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into the lake of fire to burn forever and ever and ever. You see, they'll have a body that will never cease to exist. You see, when you die, you're going to have a glorified body. You'll have a body that's indestructible, but you'll either have it in heaven or hell. And I'm glad that when I die and I go to heaven, I'll have an indestructible body and I'll be in heaven. Not because I'm special, not because I'm a preacher, but because I've been saved and born again. You see, not all preachers and not all church members, not all people that proclaim and name to be a Christian are going to be in heaven, by the way. There's no shortage of preachers and Sunday school teachers and so-called people that call themselves Christians all their life. There's no shortage of them in hell. I'm sad to say it. Not everybody that says they're Christian is. The Bible says to try the spirits to see whether they be of God, and you have to feel something real coming out of them. And there's many people that are claim to be a Christian just so they can support their habits. I mean, they use and abuse God, and that's going on all the time. You have to be careful about these people out there. There's people all over the airwaves, the TV, the radio, everywhere. People are just false prophets. They're all over the place. You have to be careful. I just want to be real with people. I mean, I don't try to force religion on people. I don't try to force my salvation on people. But when I have the opportunity, I do want to share it with them because they need to hear it. I want people to have hope like I did. I'm glad somebody shared the truth with me. If they didn't, I'd still be lost. I'd still be running in sin. I'm glad I bottomed out early. I'm glad I bottomed out in my early 20s. I could be still living in sin today. I could be well up into my 40s, 50s, and 60s, just like the rest of the world is now, living in sin and living like a teenager still. I'm glad that the Lord got a hold of my heart when I was 23 years old, when He got alive in me. He saved me, and He washed me in His own blood and purchased me. And I'm so thankful for that. And all I had to do, my part was simple. He did all the work. He did all the hard part. He's the one that was crucified. He's the one that had to take on all the punishment. He had to drink of that bitter cup, the wrath of God. He had to take it on for us. And what a loving Savior that He is. He is a God of love, and He has great love. His love surpasses all my understanding. I mean, my mind can't comprehend how much that God loves us to send His only begotten Son into the world that He might give us eternal life. You see, my life is just temporal down here, but one day after a while, when I get out of this body, I'm going to have eternal life in heaven, and I already have eternal life. When He saves you and He gives you eternal life, it's not just a month or 2 months or 3 months you're saved and then you have to get saved again. Nope, it's just one time. And I'm thankful that I got saved when I was 23 years old, when I finally called out to Him. You see, when you're not seeking God, don't worry. He's not going to upset your apple cart. He's not going to intrude in your life. You have to willingly give yourself to Him. And that's what I did. At around the age of 21, I made a choice in my life. I said, I'm going to start going back to church, and I'm going to really start seeking God because I know that's what I need. I've tried just about everything in this life besides drugs, and I've tried just about it all. And I said to myself, I'm tired. I'm wore out. And I started to go to church, and I really started to pay attention when the preacher would get up and preach about a man called Jesus, that if I just bring my broken heart and contrite spirit, that God would save me and He would put His Holy Spirit in me, and I would be have peace and joy and happiness, and I'd be content, and I could live for God and help to win others and to really be a light to others. And when I heard that and really just started to pay attention to it, I knew that's what I wanted. I knew that's what I needed. Because I had a decent heart for an unsaved person. I love people. I had many types of friends, all different types of colors and religions and races. I mean, I just liked people. I was just liking everybody. I didn't really care who you were or what you stood for. I tried to be friends with everybody. And that didn't save me, but I still needed salvation. But after I got saved, I mean, I have an even more love for people. I have a true love, a godly love for people. And no matter who you are, I care about you today. I care about your soul. And I'm not on this station to see what I can get out of it. I'm not here saying, okay, we'll give to this and I'll take your money here and there. No, I mean, I don't care about none of that. I pay my way. I don't have any problems with paying my way. I love it. I'm on here because I love people, because I want to help people. I want people to be saved and born again. That's why I do it. That's why I preach the gospel, is because I want people saved. That's what got me saved. That's what made me happy on the inside. And when I see people out and about and my friends around about me, I see how they're unhappy. They're living in sin. They're doing things they're not supposed to be doing. But they wouldn't be that way if they knew Jesus. They wouldn't be that way if they knew how to be saved. I mean, there's people around me I know they'd make good Christians if somebody would just preach the gospel to them. And that's why I'm trying to be a light to them. I'm trying to be a help to them. I told one the other day, I don't try to force my religion or salvation on people. I have to be patient. I have to wait, and I have to just pray for them. And God will bring them around. God has to do all the work. That Holy Spirit will draw them. If I just live it in front of them, just like the Bible says, our lives are living epistles, and they're known and read of all men. People don't read the Bible, but they watch our lives. They'll watch what we do. They'll watch what we say and how we act. And just the other day, there was somebody that's using bad language around me, and I didn't run over them. I didn't say anything to them, but they just stopped and they said, excuse me. And that was good. I mean, they realized that what they said wasn't right. But I don't run over people because I used to talk the same way. I mean, I had a terrible vocabulary. Every other word was a cuss word. I mean, I had a filthy mouth, but when God saved me, when He got alive in me, that vocabulary left me. The desire to use those words left me. The desire to run in my flesh and all those sins I used to have, all those things left me. I mean, I have zero desires to do those things. I'm capable now. I'm still living in this flesh. This flesh is rotten and wretched. And I don't want to do those things, but I'm capable of doing anything because I still live in this old sinful body. I'm still in this sinful world, and I have capabilities of everybody else the same way. But I'm thankful I have help on the inside, and He is my help. He's my hope. He's my everything, and He corrects me every single day. I make mistakes all the time. I mean, I come up short every day. But I have to go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to have mercy on me and help me. And I'm like Isaiah when he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of an unclean people." I mean, this world is unclean and it's vile and wretched, and there's nothing good out there. I mean, you can try everything in this life. You can try to partake of every single sin, but it's not going to satisfy you on the inside. Just take the woman at the well, for example. You see, she was coming to that well every single day, drawing water. I mean, that's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of this world where you're trying to find something to satisfy you, just like she was. She was thirsty. She was thirsty. She needed something to satisfy her thirst. And God was the only one that could quench that thirst, spiritually speaking. You see, spiritually, she was coming to that well. She needed something for her soul to satisfy her. And when she got saved, when she met the Savior, Jesus told her, He said, "Give me a drink." And she said, "Sir, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We don't have any dealings with each other." She was saying, "I'm unclean. I don't have any dealings with you." But He said, "If you knew who I was, then you would ask of me of a drink of living water, whereby you'd never have to come to this well again. You'll never thirst again." And she said, "Sir, give me this water." In other words, she said, "I'm tired. Sir, I need this water. I want this living water that you're talking about. What is this living water?" And He went on to tell her about a well of living water that'll spring up into everlasting life. And that's when you get saved. That's the Spirit of God. When you get saved and born again, when you call out to Him with all your heart, when you repent of your sins, and all you got to do is believe on Him with all your heart. Believe Him and receive Him into your heart. That's what I did. You see, I believed on Jesus and I believed in Him all my life. I knew He was the Son of God. I knew He died for my sins. I knew that He rose again. I knew that He was still alive just by the way the preacher was preaching. I knew something was real about that holy name. But after a while, I had to repent. I had to come to Jesus myself. You see, like I told you, when I was 21, that's when I started coming to church and really paying attention and seeking Him. And at the age of 23, I finally repented of my sins. I gave my life over to Him. I said, "Lord, if it means dying right now," because I was afraid. I sure was afraid to die. I was afraid to go into hell. That's the direction I was heading. "If you're not saved and born again and you die at this moment, you'll be in hell if you're not saved." I mean, that's just the sad truth. And many people are on their way to hell and don't even know it. And that's how I was before I got saved. I was on my way to hell and didn't even really realize it. And I was such a fool and so foolish, but I'm glad that God had mercy on me. I'm glad His mercy was extended to me. And prayer caught up with me. And when I finally repented, when I said, "Lord, if it means dying on the spot, if it means dying just to be with You in heaven," because I was afraid, and I said, "I just want to be saved above everything. I give over my life to You. I can't live in this life anymore in this condition. I need help. Just come into my heart and save me and wash me clean." And when I said that, meant that with everything within my being, that's when I got saved and born again. And what a joy it is to be saved and born again, to have something alive on the inside that lives and guides me and directs me. And I just have peace and joy, and I wake up and I have something to live for. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for everything that He does for me, all of His precious love and His mercy. And it's there for you. All you have to do is receive Him into your heart, and He'll save you, I promise. But I see my time is quickly come and gone. Just write to me and pray for me. In Jesus' name, amen.